Live from the greatest city in the greatest state in the greatest country on the second greatest planet in the solar system, it's episode number 15 of Midday with Trey and BK. I am Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is the Greek god of production whose last name is literally too Hellenic for me to even attempt to say. He is warming that arm up to peg tennis balls at Brad Kellner sometime in the near future. He is Zach with an H. Christo. What's up, Zach?
I'm more of a kicker. Can I kick a ball at him?
We can discuss that as part of today's show. And, of course, the one Jew in a sea of Gentiles here at the Horn. He is soon to be a big fan of kale juice. The sports radio prodigy himself, Brad Kellner.
Everybody on? Good, great, grand, wonderful.
You ain't gotta like the Fleshlight, but you gotta respect it, man. I'll tell you what.
No yelling on the bus!
BK, what's up?
You know the rules, play. You ain't gotta like it, but you gotta respect it. One of the finest inventions to ever be invented, I guess.
Created?
Created. There it is, in Austin, Texas, own. Well, Trey, it's good to see you. Zach, good to see you as well. We had a little wager over the weekend. Apparently something happened. I'm not too sure what it was, but you're talking like you did something right at the Dell Diamond yesterday. How did your little first pitch go up in Round Rock?
Let's start with this.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever seen the movie Usual Suspects?
No, sir.
Gosh.
You gotta know. When you ask a question like that, the answer is going to be no.
Your favorite movie is Pulp Fiction, and that's from around that same time. And it's one of those films that fans of Pulp Fiction tend to like Usual Suspects as well, so I was taking a chance.
Okay.
Just know that, one, spoiler alert, two, you're probably not going to get the reference. But I had to go a little bit Kaiser Soze on Friday and then over the weekend with the first pitch that I conducted at yesterday's Round Rock Express game.
A little bit Sammy Sosa?
We ended Friday, you and I, by letting people know that we were about to go outside for a catch to help me prepare for the first pitch that I was engaging in yesterday before the Express took on Memphis. That first pitch was at 105. I think we ended up taking the field at like 12:55 or something. So we went outside with Christina, our marketing guru, our marketing director, so that she could video you and I having a catch. Well, I'd made a conscious decision before we went out there because you haven't seen me throw a baseball before. Christina hadn't seen me throw a baseball. Pretty much our entire listening audience had not seen me throw a baseball. And I knew that you and I just playing catch for a couple minutes on video, just throwing the baseball back and forth to one another, was going to be boring.
Right.
It wasn't going to be worth people's time to watch that video. So I decided,
dude, people are into cats flying on burritos, man. And that Pop-Tart cat that like flies with the rainbow stream after him. You seen that guy?
Oh, I know.
Dude, people are into some weird stuff. So maybe there's somebody out there who wouldn't mind us playing a little game of catch.
Well, I had to make it a little bit weirder than just you and I playing catch. So as we were leaving and we grabbed Christina and she had her two gloves, I asked her if she had a glove for a left-handed thrower. She did not, of course, because 99% of this population only has right-handed gloves. I decided still that I was going to act like I am a lefty. And not just that, but I'm a lefty who really doesn't know how to throw a baseball. So you and I went downstairs, and we started throwing. And I was not only throwing left, keeping my elbow well below my shoulder, but also stepping with my left foot, too. I really looked like a millennial actor trying to throw a baseball for the first time.
It was terrible. It was absolutely garbage. I mean, it looked like you had never picked up a baseball. It looked like you had never seen a baseball. It looked like you had never, you know, watched one single baseball game. You'd never seen that before. Somebody was giving you lessons for the first time, and that was your attempt.
So at first, you and Christina see my effort, and you're kind of laughing. You think that I'm hamming it up for the camera, that eventually I'll straighten things out and look like a normal baseball-playing human being throwing the ball. Well, you guys looking at one another laughing turned into you guys kind of looking at one another out of your peripheral vision like, oh my God, this is about to be so embarrassing for him.
Oh, I was thinking, awesome. This is going to be the easiest bet ever. You're going to have to eat another order of Taco Bell, and you're going to have to get to peg you with a tennis ball. Zach and I would both get the opportunity. I couldn't wait.
And fortunately for the Facebook audience, for the Twitter audience, who also laid eyes on this video, it was a similar reaction. There was a lot of embarrassment. There was a lot of laughter. There was some concern. And I thank those of you who were concerned and trying to provide me helpful hints on stepping with the correct foot and getting my arm up above the shoulder to throw and just getting more into my delivery than what I was showing on video. But I also knew that in order to do that and to have it go the way that I wanted it to complete the Kaiser Soze, which is the Kevin Spacey character in Usual Suspects, where he is acting like, this is the movie's term, not my term, he is acting like a cripple throughout the entire movie, only at the end to leave the police station where he's giving his account of the events, and he goes from the limp to all of a sudden he starts walking normal as he exits the police station.
Nice.
So I knew in order for me to pull that off, I actually had to execute the pitch at yesterday's game.
Yeah.
Throwing right-handed. And I'll actually have some advice for you based on this when you get the opportunity to throw the ceremonial first
pitch. Is that going to happen? We're going to have another wager on this, flip to me this time?
So they had four ceremonial first pitches yesterday. By the way, my gosh, it was so hot outside.
Did you make it for the whole game?
No.
Okay.
Well,
did you throw the pitch and leave?
No, we didn't leave. All right, all right. We wanted to stick around for at least a little bit because it was both my kids' first live sporting event.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, as part of the first pitch crew, we got the stamp to get into the club upstairs that is air conditioned.
Ooh,
that gives
the
you
Aaron
access
Hogan
to the
special. You got Bud Light and shrimp on lock. Man.
Yeah, all of that.
Nice.
Soft couches to hang out on and watch the game. You can watch outside, but you can also watch it on television if you want to. And I have no problem using the kids' excuse for the reason why we went in there rather than baking in 100-degree heat in the actual seats.
Yeah, but now your kids are going to expect that at every single sporting game you go to.
They're 2-0. They ain't going to remember that.
Both are good points, and I agree with Brad on that I'm banking on them not having a conscious enough memory. And also, I don't plan on going to a whole lot of sporting events where it's literally 100 degrees outside and we're not sitting in the shade.
Even accidents? You have to dump accidents?
Yeah. It's not going to leave it for fault. That may be closer to a red card there.
Nice.
Yeah. But if you're listening on Horn FM or on the app right now, you just heard drop an S-bomb saying sitting. So anyhow, I was the third of four to throw the ceremonial first pitch, and I saw the look on your face when I said third of four the first time. Yes, there's not just one ceremonial first pitch now at any level of baseball. It's literally four or five people. I'm not even kidding you. I went to a Cubs game with Kevin in Chicago 3 or 4 years ago now. They literally had like 10 people throwing out first pitches, and the last person was some jackass dressed up as Captain Morgan. Like the rum drinker.
It wasn't actually Captain Morgan. It was just a dude dressed up as Captain Morgan.
If there is an actual Captain Morgan, I can guarantee you he's not going to be in Chicago on a baseball field. He's going to be out in the Caribbean somewhere.
With Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Making
exactly.
moves. 10 dudes. And you didn't throw them at the same time, right? Each of the four people had their own opportunity. The PA announcer was like, now stepping up to the mound is whoever.
Yep, there was a guy who I'll get to in a second who threw first. He did a great job. And then kudos to the second person. It was this little boy. I think it was like a 10-year-old boy. He threw from the rubber. Like, rather than stepping to the front of the mound, because they give you the option. They say you can either throw from the front of the mound or on the mound.
You got to go on the mound.
Not everybody chooses that, especially if you're 10. Dude, if you're 10, there's no way you're going to be getting that ball all the way to home plate. He did a great job. I think he, like, one bounced it in. I was very proud of
him. Get it to the plate! Hit the weight room, kid! Come on. What was his, Little League World Series update. What was his MLB pitch speed equivalent? Like 115? Because those dudes always make that up. So how did this guy do?
I believe it was somewhere in the Aroldis Chapman
area. Wow. Okay, so 10-year-old. So you couldn't follow up this 10-year-old with the performance that you had in the side yard of our station right there. Like, you had to one-up this guy.
I wouldn't say one-up, but I definitely wanted to get up there and perform. I had my daughter with me, so I let her up by the hand to the back of the mound. They give the quick announcement of who you are. You give a wave to the camera.
People cheer? People boo? A lot of people don't like you out there. We found out in the early goings of this show.
It was a smattering.
Okay.
And not just the early goings of people just complaining about me, but also all of the general complaints being filed against the show.
All of the sponsors were there. The dude who's counting the cuss words, he was also there.
That's right. And so I walked my two-year-old up to the back of the mound. They make the announcement, but it's a very quick process. You really don't have time to think too much about it because they make the announcement, you wave, and you really throw. And I knew that I wanted to keep it as simple as possible because I literally did not receive one warm-up throw before stepping onto the mound. So I was throwing very cold, mm-hmm. although I had played 2 hours of volleyball a couple hours
that
before.
Doesn't
that
doesn't help.
Well, maybe you want to consider it based
going
on the end
from
result
not,
here.
Going from not a sport to a sport, that's not going to do anything for you. What are you, bump setting and spiking the ball to the plate? No, you're throwing the ball.
Regardless, I decided to keep the delivery as simple as possible. Rather than throw left-handed, which I was doing in the video on Friday, I went with my naturally stronger arm, which is the right. I can throw left, by the way. I just want people to understand that.
Better than you can in the video, because the video is trash.
Much better than I can in the video. So I went with that very simple Yu Darvish delivery where I'm not winding up. Just start from the stretch, bring my feet together, and throw. And really cool side note here, Drew Robinson, who's not only one of the best players for the Express, mm-hmm. he's been called up by the Rangers once or twice this year. He had an off day, so he was the guy behind home plate. He was squatted, had his catcher's mitt, dead center of the strike zone. That mitt did not have to move a millimeter.
Yeah, I don't like the angle. I don't like the angle of the video from Chad's friend Rick with the fifth pick in the NBA draft. Rick Sakamoto selects De'Aaron Fox. I didn't think that was a good angle. I thought I was getting duped, but then I saw the Facebook Live that, I don't know, was it Christina out there? Was it your wife? Maybe somebody had the Facebook Live going, and yes, it was a perfect strike. Now, I don't know if it touched 30 on the radar gun. I mean, you threw a damn Ephus into the plate. But you're right. Drew Robinson did not move his mitt, didn't have to get out of the squats. Congratulations, Mazal Tov. You win the bet fair and square.
So I just want to address anybody who feels duped by the video on Friday.
I got duped. I feel duped, man. I got got.
My hope is that it provided you a little bit of afternoon entertainment on that Friday. You were able to talk trash at me if you wanted to. If you're upset in any way, shape, or form, I apologize. But I would also like to harken back to the notion that had you just watched Brad and I play catch for 2 minutes, going totally straight on things, you wouldn't have enjoyed it as much as you probably did.
Nah, you did it for the show. Grow the show. Respect.
So I have no problem humiliating myself for your enjoyment, and so I hope in some way, shape, or form you were entertained by that on Friday. But in the end, I also didn't want to embarrass my family who was out at the game with me. My wife was in the first row of the stands taking pictures.
Well, dude, it looked like you almost forgot your daughter on the mound after you threw the pitch. You were so happy to go to the camera and talk trash to me that you almost left your daughter out there.
I was pumped.
Was she going to pitch for the Express?
I was pumped after the ball hit the mitt that I gave a little fist pump, and I started to walk off the mound, and I'm like, oh yeah, I do have to remember my two-year-old. So I picked her up really quickly, and that was that.
Well, nice job, man. Yeah, I mean, I got dude, everybody in the building after we went to play catch, everybody was like, they couldn't even look you in the eyes, right? They were so embarrassed for you. They just wanted to all tell you, dude, you're going to lose this bet. Just get ready for some more Taco Bell. You are in trouble. I was laughing. I couldn't wait for Sunday. And then all the comments on Facebook Live and Twitter, 9 out of 10 were like, this sucks. I got a 5-year-old daughter who could throw better than this. Now, the 10th of 10th comment was like, BK looks like he's 12. I think we got 3 or 4 of those, which, come on. All right? I can't control that. But no, you're right. People were blasting you on Friday, and I fell for it too, man. You didn't tell me this plan, this Sammy Sosa, whatever, Samuel Cosby, Bill Cosby. I don't know what the character of Usual Suspects was.
Kaiser Sosa.
Kaiser Sosa. There it is. You didn't tell me that was your plan. I fell for the trap, and you got it done on Sunday, cold turkey, so nice work.
It was a fascinating human experiment, like what you were talking about. People literally would not look me in the eye on Friday. They were that embarrassed for me. There were a couple people who said, look, you're not a great baseball player. That's okay. You still provided immense entertainment value for people, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, God, I have to hit this strike on Sunday now just to prove that I'm not as big of a schlep as a lot of folks think I am.
Oh, man, come on, Sakamoto. I'm blaming Sakamoto for this, man.
The infamous Rick Sakamoto, one of Chad's really good friends. He was at the game, too. I wish I'd known that before he ended up leaving, because he had taken a video from what I'm guessing was like one of the upper deck areas down the first baseline. And it wasn't the best angle, you're right, but between that, Christina also videoed it for Facebook Live, and then Christina's boyfriend took another video from the stands as well. I watched all three videos. I have no doubt that it was a strike. Aaron was behind home plate to where he could confirm that it was a strike as well if we really needed another
boss.
Another person letting us know one way or the other. But as a result of this,
I was going to say, what's the payout? What do I have to do?
The stakes of the bet. Aaron proposed this on Friday, and it was a great idea. So Zach and I get to play butts up with you at some point in the near future, where you have to go spread angle, palms against the wall, facing away from Zach and I, who are, what is it, like 5 feet away, 10 feet away?
Ooh, it's got to be a little more than that. 5 feet? Come on. Can we get like 20 feet?
I don't think it's that far. I think it might be.
You just threw a baseball 60 feet. You don't think you can hit me with a tennis ball from 20 feet out? We ain't doing 5 feet.
We're going 10 feet.
What's the Little League World Series mound distance? We're doing that. 10 feet.
Then we're throwing baseballs. We're not throwing tennis balls.
All right, tennis ball it is. 10 feet. Fine. God, that's going to hurt. All right, all right.
But the more important facet of this bet, which, by the way, we gamble very degenerately on this show. There's never financial stakes other than...
We work in radio. There's no financials.
Right. Other than the individual who wins the bet does get to pay for the food slash beverage item. But Brad is a very unhealthy eater. I'm a very healthy eater. So the stakes of our degenerate gambling always involve the other having to consume something that they dread. For me, it's usually going to be fast food. For Brad, it's going to be something very healthy. Mm. And as part of this bet, I think this part has to happen on the air, as a matter of fact. Brad has to drink a kale-based beverage, either a smoothie or a juice. I'm deciding to go to Juice Land on this one because they do such a great job. My goal here is to get you to actually like kale a little bit more than you do right now.
Not going to happen. Yeah, that's going to be me. I'm looking at that trash can right now because that's where I'm going to be running to as soon as I take my first sip of this. Now, hold on. So it's going to be Juice Land, so it's going to be a smoothie. Can I throw in like a Big Mac and add that to the blender with all the kale and the other stuff they put there? Or can I at least have a Big Mac or some Taco Bell or a patty melt from Whataburger? Any other sponsors I need to hit? Some tacos, whatever else, whoever else sponsors us, don't get mad at me. Can I at least have some of that on the side to wash down the smoothie with? Please.
No.
I got to drink this plain, straight up on the air.
Isolated.
Oh, God. Okay.
You can maybe have water as a chaser, but even then I'm...
Water as a chaser, yeah. The best chaser known to man.
So here's the other cool thing about the first pitch that was thrown yesterday. The first guy to throw these ceremonial first pitches was Joe from Rock Sports, which Rock Sports does screen printing for T-shirts and all sorts of other clothing. Like yesterday, for Father's Day, the Round Rock Express were giving out aprons, Father's Day aprons. Well, Rock Sports is the ones who provided
like barbecue,
and printed up
barbecue
the apron.
Style aprons,
yep.
Right? Cool.
Barbecue style aprons. So I met Joe and I was talking with Joe a little bit after the first pitch, and I explained to him that you and I had this romper bet. And I told him I had considered trying to get just a plain romper and printing the picture up that your mom has on her Twitter account, Shoshana Kellner.
Nope.
Her and I follow one another on Twitter.
Nope.
And her background picture is you, your three sisters, and your mom and dad all wearing the same T-shirt and jeans, holding hands, walking, or were you guys skipping across the beach?
Not skipping. Same color T-shirt, all right? We're not a family of Jenners, all right? It's not Bruce and Caitlin times six, all right? Same color, the black tee, the blue jeans, walking around the beach. Dude, it was terrible, man. We were like, these little like stumps I was supposed to jump off. We were all jumping off to time the jump. So the photographer, oh, dude.
How do we get those pictures?
I don't know, man. I'm not letting you find those pictures. I don't even know where they are. I'm going to make sure nobody else knows where they are either.
So I mentioned to this casually that I had considered just printing a single romper with this picture. And he's like, oh. He's like, we could probably make that happen.
No, we can't.
So
no,
I may have to have a conversation with Joe because
you lost the bet. I don't suffer for a bet that you lost. I am doing my punishment, the kale, and you won't let me eat this side stuff with the kale, so you don't get to put my family's face on a romper. I'm eating the kale. I'm taking the wall ball straight to the backside from 10 feet out, which I feel like is very generous to you and Zach. You're not putting my family's face on the romper. You're getting Kim Jong-un or the burrito cat or the Nyan cat or some fat cat, something with a cat on it or Kim Jong-il or Un. That's what it's going to be.
It is still the Kim Jong-un romper, which I have ordered. I just don't know when it's going to be delivered. I realize something else.
If it's coming from North Korea, we might, might be a while.
I realized something else about this romper, though. I was looking at it again over the weekend, because since you and I started talking about this and this came up as a possibility, like, that thing has caught social media fire. Like, people have started bringing this up as, like, look, this insane romper that somebody has created. And you and I were on that before,
yeah,
before it went viral, as the kids say nowadays.
Oh, so we're hipsters, man. We're like the rest of the Austinites out there. We saw it first. I heard of this artist before you
exactly.
guys did. I was at his show back in 2012. Y'all know Chance the Rapper? I saw him in high school, man. Y'all know that guy?
You're right.
Y'all know Led Zeppelin? I saw those dudes in the 60s, man. They weren't even alive and I seen them, bro.
Chance in the acid rap game. But but the Kim Jong-un romper, like, not only is my junk going to be right there at his mouth level, because the mouth goes down to the crotch. But
well played, North Korea.
But I'm a little bit worried that my junk is kind of going to be in his chin, you know, Ronaldo statue style.
Oh, no. He's got that double chin action, too, a little bit.
Yeah, so which chin?
What I think I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to give Kim Jong-un like a soul patch or a flavor saver or a French tickler just to kind of hide things a little bit better.
With your own,
No.
Not with that.
All right, like, I don't know, man. Sometimes people like North Korea, I guess.
Go to Michael's or Joann's Fabrics or something and find, or maybe even just find like a fake beard at a costume shop just to put some hair down there to keep people from having to see way too much when I'm wearing this romper.
So they're going to just think you have a lot of hair down there. I don't know if they're going to, because it's a really like flesh colored.
Are you going to put blonde hair on it or black hair?
Yeah, carpet match the drapes.
Part of that depends on whether the back of this romper, they make it look like Kim Jong-un's hair.
Yeah.
Like, if they make it look like he has black hair, I think it's only fitting to go black hair down there. Otherwise, maybe I should just go a little freaky deaky and go with like purple or blue or something.
It's got out of hand. As long as it's not my family on the romper, that's fine. I don't care what kind of hair or where you put the hair on it, where your junk is hanging on Kim Jong-un's face. That's fine. I don't care.
I've got two questions that both involve my part of the punishment for Brad.
Okay.
Can I get a designated pitcher, and can I auction off that opportunity to a listener?
Oh, yes.
Yes and yes?
Why don't we decide this before? Why don't we decide this before the show starts?
All right, I'll take the highest bidder on the Specs text line. Go ahead. Tell me what you got.
Hey, Plugola, we can't be doing that.
The highest bidder on the Specs text line, 337-3776. You can follow us on Twitter. He's at Brad Kellner. I am at Courtesy Wave. Zach is at Soccer as a Sport, even though neither Brad nor I believe it is a sport. Coming up on today's show, coming up next is Tinder Time. Final segment of this hour, we do have our dogs and cats from the weekend. Hey, we're excited to speak with Andrew King from the Football Brainiacs. Texas football had a big recruiting weekend. Also, there may be another name to add to the Tom Herman era attrition. We'll talk with Andrew King about that. Of course, Shooting the Bull at 12:30. And we'll finish it off sharing our memories from the Dallas Stars. This is the anniversary of them having won their one Stanley
Stars!
Cup back in 1999. Yeah! You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on the Horn.
Probably can't have that conversation on the show.
It seems like you're about to go down a dark path.
Girl on the left, 6 months ago looked like this, and now she looks like, probably shouldn't be talking about that, huh?
Like who?
Well, I mean, look, this is what she was like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And then the transformation.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you hate to see that.
Oh, that's... I do hate to see that, because in all likelihood...
She must have lost a lot of bets on Midday with Trey and VK, I can tell you that much.
If she was sitting in my chair, she lost a lot of bets.
We're terrible people.
That was pretty awful. Okay, yeah. So we have some stakes rolling in on the Specs text line, 337-377. Six, Butthurst, Zach, has offered up his first unborn child for the opportunity to peg BK with a tennis ball.
That might be the last place offer as of right now. I don't know what the others
this
are, but
not want a kid.
I don't want a kid right now. I'm only 21.
I think Brad falls into that category as well, since he constantly brags about wanting to die alone.
Right. Trey, do you want another kid?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I'm getting the snip snip very soon, as a matter of
fact. Vast madness.
Yes, exactly.
Urology team.
Westworld Jerry says, T.E., say it ain't so. You fooled us all. Next, you're going to tell us the throw up was staged. Damn it, man. I got $5 on being the BK.
The throw up was not staged. I can attest to that based off sight, sound, and smell.
As a matter of fact, I blame you as much as I do the bad food that I ate the previous day, because you brought up that Nashville Predators catfish story where the guy was having to douse it in Old Spice cologne. Oh my gosh, that pushed me over the edge.
Nashville Preds, baby. They took that L, man.
Ooh, T-Bone says that we should use a racquetball, not a sissy bleep tennis ball.
All right, T-Bone, you want to fill in for me then? If we're going to let one of our listeners throw, somebody can stand in for me if you're going to talk trash. Come on, man.
I know, I was going to suggest a lacrosse ball, which is a little bit harder than a racquetball,
yeah,
too.
No, we're not changing the conditions of the bet. Now, if we want to go like double or nothing type deal down the road, then I'm for it.
Austin Media's unofficial assistant producer, Chris Bennett, says the next wager should be the loser has to buy and use a fleshlight.
I would say the winner should use that. I've been trying, like, I got to get my hands on one of those things, man.
Update on that, by the way. The fleshlight guy, whose significant other works for the company, which is based here in Austin, he's sending us 3 models,
yeah!
And some other gear that advertises the fleshlight, I guess.
Is it the original one or the super tight one? Like the bulb in the fleshlight is super tight.
All right, let's move on.
All right.
Let's move on. Yeah. That's a terrible question you just asked.
It's fair.
As much as Trey, who got a lot of crap on Friday, I'm happy that he got the strike, and you guys are doing a great job listening from Scotland. Very cool, on vacation.
Sweet.
It's probably close to evening now in Scotland, so I imagine you're about to go get wasted, like most Scots do when it gets to evening time, even on a Monday. And also, another texter says, Trey was so happy through the strike. Oh, Trey was so happy. You read that one earlier, so I won't read it again.
Come on, man. It's Monday. You all right?
I am, and I did not read far enough down when I was looking over these text messages in the commercial break. So instead, we'll shift away from the text messages and on to Tinder time. It is 11:30, which means it's time for us to pull off the radio version of the popular dating app Tinder. Of course, the app Tinder allows the user to look at pictures of the opposite sex. If they are interested in finding out more about that person and possibly getting in touch with them, they swipe right. They want nothing to do with that picture and the person behind the picture, they swipe left. The radio version, of course, is Zach, our great producer, reads us sports headlines. If we want to find out more about the story and talk about it, we swipe right. If we want nothing to do with it, we swipe left. Zach, what's up first today?
All right, this story caught my eye in the Washington Post this morning. It says verbal abuse from parents and coaches is causing a referee shortage in youth sports.
I saw you tweet this out earlier, and I'm fascinated to find out more.
Yeah,
I swipe right.
Swipe right. I love these stories.
All right, so here's a few stats from the story. Only about half of the umpires who complete 1 year are back for a second, and the 5 to 7 year attrition rate hovers around 80%. All right.
Okay.
In football, in Fairfax County, they said that they haven't experienced a 40% drop over the past 3 years.
Jeez.
Wow.
And it's just that everything is on a decline. They say, you know, when I first saw the story, they had pictures of, you know, soccer teams, you know, youth soccer kids.
I thought you said sports.
Okay, hush. Okay. and I know that, like, I've been to, there are some crazy soccer moms out there.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Just that's just a straight up fact.
Helicopter parents.
I've seen them. Yes.
It's a common term now.
So I want to know, actually, Trey, what you think about this. And how you plan to react if your kids ever get into sports. And BK, I want to know how you would parent if you had a kid playing in youth sports.
That's a good question, Zach. Without fail, the people that I speak with that officiate sports in some form or fashion, after they've done it for even a short amount of time, say, I will never criticize an official or a referee again. You don't understand how difficult that job is. Much less when you're doing it on the lower levels and there are less refs, officials responsible for paying attention to more out on the field of play. So I think it's sad that this is the state of youth sports in America right now, because there are so many people who take it entirely too seriously. What I wish could possibly happen is that if you decide to enroll your kid in a youth sport, part of the eligibility requirement should be you having to officiate not your own kid's sport, but a random game in the league that year. So you can really get a sense of what is required to do the job well.
Yeah.
Much like how a lot of countries require military service, it gives you more of a respect, not just for the military, but the process that is international relations, and if you're having to go to a foreign country and respect what's going on there, and also just the basic concept of war. So for parents of these...
Man, you just compared youth sports to war. Some of these parents do, it feels like. Huh?
Yeah, in some ways, it's less humane than war is.
I've seen signs out at these youth sports events that say, look, there's no talent scouts in the audience, no scholarships will be given out today, so just chill out.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I was an intramural ref in college for one semester. Then I got bumped up to the supervisor position, least experienced supervisor of all time. Yeah, I got paid more to do less.
God, you were a smooth talker, aren't you?
It's unbelievable, and I'm sure the lady, she's an angel, still a good friend to this day. I'm sure she regrets that, realizes that was a terrible decision. But I reffed a lot of intramural basketball games, and from that moment on, this was, I guess, second semester of my freshman year, I was like, dude, I'm never going to yell at NBA officials again. It was so difficult for me to do. Apparently, like, we do ref grading, I guess. Like, my bosses were doing that. I was, like, one of the best refs that we had. I thought I was terrible.
It's because you know the game really
well.
Right,
exactly. That was it. Like, I thought, because, like, 3 seconds after something happened, I'd be like, you know, dang it, I missed that. Which, if you're an NBA ref or a college ref or a high school ref, you don't have that amount of time. You know, you can't call something 3 seconds late. Some people try, but it doesn't work. So once that happened to me, now I wasn't going to take any crap from millennial college kids. I wasn't taking anything from my peers. But if you're a high school kid, which most of these officials are, and you got 40 and 50-year-old parents, look, some guys, thick-skinned, it doesn't hurt too much. But some people are going to be upset and quit their job, and that's understandable. All of my friends who are umpires in high school have stories about parents yelling at them. One of my buddies just heard it nonstop. He actually tossed a parent out, just the parent on repeat. Be consistent, Blue! He just yelled at him nonstop time he didn't like one of the calls. So these parents are ridiculous. It's over the top. And it's hard to blame the kids for quitting after that, you know?
You know what? If you have a good story of watching some maniac do a little bit too much in the way of rooting for their own child or against other children or adults who are supposed to be supervising and officiating these children, we do welcome those stories on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Now, as to the other question you asked me, Zach, what type of parent am I going to be in these situations? I'm going to be a supportive parent. I have no problem instructing and trying to help my kids get better, but at the sacrifice of them actually enjoying what it is that they're doing and, quite frankly, learning how to fail and learning how to deal with adversity, which I think is a very important element of playing youth sports or a lot of organized activities, I certainly am not going to get angry or upset if something goes against them or their team.
That's got to be the way to go. Yeah. I mean, there's just no doubt.
Yeah, you best not miss the call, or I'm putting you and my kid on the bench.
Hey, really cool text, by the way. Balcona Sports in Northwest Austin requires parents to volunteer to referee. That's great.
And there you go.
Kudos to Balcona Sports in Northwest Austin for requiring that. I think it gives a perspective that a lot of these Yahoos don't have otherwise.
All right, guys, next story here. This one came from the Four Letter Network. They released a list of the grades that they're giving each NFL team for their offseason work. Do you guys care to, maybe not all of them, but maybe the Texas teams?
Yeah, I'll swipe right to that. I'm always curious with their 10 reporters that they have left, what ESPN is pulling out of their head.
Swipe right for me, too.
All right, so the Cowboys received a B-. They're quoting the fact that they basically lost their defense.
B-minus is pretty generous.
Yeah, yeah, right?
That's fun.
And the Texans, they get a C. They basically still don't have an offense.
Interesting. Interesting.
That's, maybe those teams could merge and maybe solve some of their problems.
Are there any A's? Do you have that article pulled up?
I can. Let me pull it up real quick.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And any F's as well.
For the Cowboys' perspective, I mean, they did lose 7 defensive starters. Now, their defense was very good in the regular season. I think surprisingly good to a lot of people, including myself. It was top 10 in total defense, top 10 in scoring defense.
Overperformers.
Absolutely. But once they got to the playoffs, for the second straight time they've been to the playoffs, they had nothing for Aaron Rodgers, who's a guy you're going to have to play in the playoffs pretty much year after year after year. So, you know, they didn't feel too bad with losing some of their defensive players that got torched in the postseason. But yeah, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, they lost 7 defensive starters. They addressed some of it in the draft. They signed some free agents. But whether or not the Cowboys address their number one need, which is the pass rush, that's left to be seen. David Irving, of course, the 4-game suspension. For the Texans' perspective, their whole offseason depends on Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's as simple as that. Like, if he turns out to be a star quarterback in this league, then we all think the Texans are a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. So if Deshaun Watson is good, this will be a great offseason for the Texans. If not, it's another year where they haven't figured out their quarterback.
At what point do we see Deshaun Watson replace Tom Savage as his team's starting quarterback?
I said week five. By week five, Deshaun Watson will be the starting quarterback a month into the year.
Maybe so if Savage really struggles, but I think they do want to try and take their time with him. Bill O'Brien may not have that luxury, though.
Exactly. That's my thought right here. I mean, Bill O'Brien has cycled through seemingly tens of quarterbacks and hasn't found one yet. He's running out of time. He's the head coach. He's the offensive coordinator now. He's the guy making all these decisions. And by the way, Tom Savage has games in Cincy, in New England, and against the Titans and Chiefs all in the first 5 weeks of the season.
That's kind of brutal.
Yeah.
Guys, how politically correct is this? They don't give out any Fs in this article.
Oh, gosh,
no,
ESPN.
Come on.
Now, they do give out three A minuses, so there's no A's and there's no Fs.
Are there any D's?
No. C is the lowest grade.
So it's A minus to C. All right. You know what? Forget the A minus. I don't even care. All right. Do we have any other stories, actually?
I got some soccer stories if you guys want to go down that rabbit hole.
Give us a headline.
All right. So they're talking about changing the duration of a match from 90 minutes, bringing it down to 60 minutes.
Ooh, less soccer. These dudes are such athletes, though. Come on. Like, come on. They work so hard.
I'll swipe right on this one.
So they're doing two 30-minute halves now instead of two 45-minute halves.
So what? We'll have less goals.
Less goals. They'll probably end up. This
more
is the thing
ties.
That I think you'll
want. Sure, there's
exactly.
going to be less goals than the 1-0 games that are already happening.
Well, if there's 30 less minutes, it seems like that's likely. Less goals and more ties. Swipe left. Come on. We talk about changes soccer can make on the show to become a sport, and they're going to shorten the game. I want golden goal. What are they going to do, 60 minutes and then golden goal?
No, 60 minutes and then end in a tie. End in a nil-nil tie. I actually agree with you guys on this. I think this is stupid.
Who comes up with this? Like the IOC? Is this FIFA?
It's a FIFA panel. They haven't really said they're thinking about it. They're just open to talking about it at this point.
So it's generating conversation in the middle of summer to keep people's minds on soccer. I think the NBA would do itself well by taking a cue here and scaling regular season games down to, I don't know if you cut 30 minutes off the game, but maybe scale NBA regular season games down to like 4 or 5 minutes total, since the last 4 or 5 minutes of a game is all anybody cares about anyhow.
That is exactly how my dad believes, or what my dad believes, and I can't stand it, but kind of feels like it's right. And really, in the NBA, you can just scale it down to the NBA Finals, because for the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to have the same two teams over and over again. So we're good. All right. There's dinner time. Thank you, Zach C. Behind the Glass, for leading that. When we come back, we'll hit our Hungry Dog Pussycat segment of the week. Thank you for not playing the whistle there, Zach. We will get into some more sports, tell you who got it done, and who ate the bones over the sports weekend. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on the Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK.
What is this?
Is this somebody covering Michael Jackson Black and White?
No.
This is Queen. This is Queen. So this is...
Good night.
I know. And you guys didn't notice it on the first rejoin, but I'm doing mashups today. It's Mashup Monday.
Interesting.
What is this mashed up with?
So this is called...
Be sure when I walk out that door, all I want to be free, yeah. All right, that's enough singing for me.
Good song,
though. Yeah, it's Queen and Michael Jackson.
Like, is that one of those, you know, I know you're gay things, if you like Queen? Because, like, half the bunch was gay.
No, I know you're not gay.
Okay.
I'm
a fan of their music. Pretty good stuff.
Great anthem rock. Obviously, they have, three jock jams that are staples at any sporting event, right? We Are the Champions. We Will Rock You.
What's the third?
Bicycle Race. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah. That song's legendary. It's everywhere.
Fat-bottomed Girls.
Yeah. I mean, are we going through their whole track list?
I'm just talking about songs
you hear those at games?
Songs that are suited for game day.
No, that's absolutely. Absolutely right. That's all right. So what was the first mashup? What do we miss? What do you have?
You want me to play it?
Yeah.
Let's see if you guys can guess the two on this one. It's pretty easy.
Okay. That sounds like the skin flute over...
I wondered about that flute. Okay.
Skin flute.
It's a regular flute.
So this is, I don't know the name of the song in the background.
It's Men at Work.
Oh.
And M83.
What's the name of the song? I don't know anything else that has flute in it.
What's the name of the song, not flute song, with the annoying... Bum, 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 bum. What's the name?
Oh, that's,
the name of that song?
That's M83. I forget the name.
Is it Midnight City?
Midnight City, that's what it is.
Midnight City.
M83 is actually pretty good.
I like that idea, though. Mashup Mondays.
Yeah, if you got any mashups, this guy is Mighty Mike. I like him a lot. He does some good work.
So somebody mashed up Jay-Z's Black Album with the Beatles' White Album.
Whoa.
May have been Danger Mouse, as a matter of fact, but that may be a good option.
Yeah,
later on in the
show. I like that. Mashup Mondays. Nice work, Zach.
Specs text line before we get to Dogs and Cats of the Weekend. You can write in to 337-3776. Paul in Buda has a story about parents yelling at youth sporting events. His daughter was in T-ball All Stars. Can't even believe they have a T-ball All Star team.
Good night.
But they were playing a team from Balcones this weekend, and those parents were yelling as much as the parents for the team that his daughter was representing as well. So he said, even though they may go through those motions or require the parents to do so in Balcones, doesn't mean that they don't act the same way, unfortunately.
That's
terrible. Paul.
Man, I mean, my generation, and rightfully so, my generation sucks. If you've listened to this station for a while, you know I do not like to associate myself with the people who are around the same age as I am as a 23-year-old. But, man, a lot of the blame has to go on the parents, right? I mean, their kids are seeing this type of stuff. They think it's okay to yell whenever they don't get their way. And I don't know. That's a mess. It's unacceptable. It's youth sports. Like, it's unacceptable, and I'm trying to get better at this. I'm doing a much better job of not reacting as harshly as I used to, not running fists through doors after losses or throwing empty bottles of Fireball over my balcony. I'm getting much better at that. But for youth sports, when it's literally all about having fun, not a business, like, come on, you can't possibly take that stuff so seriously. Just let your kids have fun. It's about them. Somehow, decent parenting advice, at least I think, for me. It's not about you. It's about them. Let them enjoy themselves. You talk to the parents and schmooze a little bit. Watch your kid when he comes up to bed and get out of there. Take him to snow cones.
Congratulations on being less of a heathen, by the way.
Thank you. You like that? That was nice. That was good.
Well, somebody else says that there is such a financial investment involved in allowing your kid to play any sport at this point in time.
Still, who cares? Come on.
I don't think that should be a valid
excuse. That is also ridiculous, believe me, but you're right. These kids are making $8 an hour to be an umpire. It doesn't give you the right to talk trash to them.
Have a little bit of perspective as
they're in high school.
As that goes. All right, let's hit our dogs and cats from the weekend.
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Oh, got new music for the segment.
On.
Thank you very much to the Baja Men. Genius of Zach for saying, guys, we were overthinking this the entire time as far as what the music bet should be for our dogs and cats of the weekend.
I thought One Hit Wonders were for Wednesday. Come on.
They are for Wednesdays as well.
What did Zach say? Like the most overused radio?
The most overused bed in radio, I think, is this song.
Unbelievable.
We have no problem going there. All right, who's your first dog of the weekend?
First dog of the week, I think this one is relatively obvious. Brooks Koepka, 2017 U.S. Open champion. Ties Rory McIlroy at 16 under par. The best four-round score in U.S. Open history. Wins by four strokes over Hideki Matsuyama. He's the Yankees guy. Hideki Matsuyama, two-sport athlete, and Brian Harman. So nice work, Brooks Koepka, the 27-year-old, went to Florida State, his second win on the America Tour. He won some stuff overseas, but just won one random small tournament here. Now adds his name to the list of major champions. Seven straight majors with a first-time winner, which, you know, people talk about parity and they complain a lot with the NBA and the Patriots winning a lot in the NFL and yada, yada, yada. This was a pretty lackluster U.S. Open in terms of TV ratings and in terms of big names, which, of course, those two things go hand in hand. But you got to tip the cap to Brooks Koepka. He got it done. It looks like a dude who could be a force for years to come, Trey. And by the way, on 18 yesterday, he had this thing pretty much locked up. He pulls out the 3-wood and goes 379 off the tee with a 3-wood.
Oh, my God.
The dude is big. It looked like he could have broken the U.S. Open trophy in half with his bare hands. Brooks Koepka, dog of the week.
All right, my first dog of the week is Texas football. Boy, Tom Herman and company just continue outdoing themselves as far as recruiting goes. And that includes hosting a pool party on Saturday where they invited a number of elite recruits, guys from the 2018 and some from the 2019 class, not to come talk X's and O's, not to come talk football really, to come hang out at the Gregory Gym pool and just have fun all day. And on top of that, They also sent a number of guys out for the Juneteenth parade over on the east side as well later in the day. Kudos to Tom Herman and company for knocking another one out of the park as far as being innovative recruiters is concerned. And, of course, celebrating. A lot of people make fun of Juneteenth, like, oh, it's so funny these guys didn't find out that the Civil War is over with until the... Guess what, idiot? They didn't have the internet back then. You actually had to send things by ground to get word out on stuff.
Yeah.
And this is an important day in the history of this state.
No
Stop
doubt about
mocking it.
It
like it's something stupid. It's not. It's the opposite.
Yeah, well, that's, I don't know anybody who mocks it. That's terrible that there are people out there who do that. Probably the kids yelling at the youth sports officials as well.
Now my first cat of the weekend...
Shoot.
Aggie baseball. Come on, Aggie baseball. We all know how easy a route it was for you to get to Omaha. Do something with it. I'm trying to get my man Chad Hastings to grow out a mullet here. You go out and lay an egg like that.
And you know what's so perfect, Trey, is they get to play TCU tomorrow. TCU, who has knocked out the Aggies in the last two NCAA baseball tournaments at the super regional level. But it could be three straight times the Horny Toads get the best of the Aggies.
Who's your first cat of the week?
And no Chad Hastings mullet, which is fine. I'm not rooting for A&M. Joe Buck. He's my cat of every day. I can't stand Joe Buck, right? Football, he's okay. He's acceptable. Baseball and golf, no. Fox golf coverage in general, some of the graphics were pretty cool. I will give them that. But the announcers, no. So Brooks Koepka, of course, wins. He goes off the 18th green and kisses his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Buck, thinking he knows everything, like Joe Buck, of course, always thinks. Here's what he does.
Player this week leading the field in greens in regulation. His girlfriend, Becky Edwards, All-American soccer player at Florida State, pro soccer player.
Nope.
It's not Becky Edwards.
That's not it. That's not it, Joe. So this other cut that we have is one of his partners. 5 minutes later, I mean, they're following Brooks and his new girlfriend on the golf cart as they go to the clubhouse or whatever to get the trophy. And 5 minutes goes by, and finally one of the partners, one of the guys Joe is broadcasting with, decides to correct them.
Second that year, and now Brooks Koepka. Joe, that's actually his new girlfriend. That's Jenna Sims. They're all staying together this week.
Yeah, so Jenna Sims, the actual girlfriend, Becky Edwards, the old girlfriend, and that's a bad one to miss right there, Joe.
Oh, boy.
Cat of the
Joe,
week.
Come on, man.
You got any more for me?
Yeah, I got. I have one more dog and one more cat before we get to break, and then Andrew King is on the other side to talk Longhorn football recruiting attrition. There's a new name that the football brainiacs have thrown out there that you want to hear about. But my other dog of the week, well, it's me, of course. I nailed the first pitch yesterday.
Oh, get out of here. It was a first pitch. You threw it 20 miles per hour.
We had a bet on
the
line.
Week.
I also set myself up for failure by fudging our throwing session on Friday and had everybody mocking me and laughing at me. It would have been very easy for me to yank it and not hit the catcher's mitt dead red like I did. But I did, and because of that, you get to drink a kale juice or smoothie at some point in the near future, and Zach and I get to peg tennis balls, or is it racket balls at you?
Tennis balls. Tennis balls.
Get to peg tennis balls at you from 10 feet away.
You got another cat, or is that you out of here?
My other cat of the week is the Houston Astros. They have now gone three straight series without a series victory.
Don't take the fans off. They're still up 11 games over our Rangers.
Actually, that's four straight series that they have not won the series. They split with Kansas City going back four series.
True.
And since then, they've actually lost three straight. The Astros will eventually get back on track, but right now, they're cats for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, their entire pitching rotation is on the DL, but you're right.
That doesn't help.
They only have a one-game lead in the majors for best record. They're struggling, man.
Hey, you know what? Mike Fiers, though, he's figuring some things out. After leading the majors in home runs given up through the first couple months of the season, he hasn't allowed one in his last four starts now. Good for him.
That is fair. Real quick, dog, Sam Hinkie, the old 76ers GM who was fired before he could finish his experiment that trust the process. Now the Sixers have traded up with Boston to get the number one pick in the draft. The process, baby. Trust it. Sam Hinkie did not die for this. All right, we're out of here. There's Dogs and Cats of the Week. When we come back, we will talk some Texas football with our man Andrew King of the Football Brainiacs. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK right here on the Horn.